And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. The Bible has many prophecies, of course, from Genesis to Revelation. All 66 books of the Bible seem to be infused with powerful prophecies of God. And they've all come true, and we can expect those that are yet unfulfilled to come true. I've always loved the book of Daniel because there's prophecies there, and it says these things are determined by God. You know, a lot of people write to me about prophecy, and they say, well, does it really have to happen? Do we have to have Armageddon and these terrible diseases and monstrous wars and people killing each other and on? Couldn't we change history? Can't we change it with our own minds? Can't we think positive? Can't we get along? And well, but you see, the Bible tells us these things are determined by God. He has determined them. You know, he knew what the, from the very beginning, he knew what the end would be. So we cannot change the course of human history with our minds. Of course, we all should think positive, think pure, think of God, and fight. Yes, fight for righteousness. Even if we know that in some cases we might lose, because I believe in losing, we win. A little ironic statement, isn't it? Remember the old commercials that had less is more? Well, counterintuitive. Let's just call it that. Counterintuitive. Well, today we're going to be talking about prophecy and how things are progressing. It's just amazing to me that they're progressing just like God warned us. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be again. We can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden and see what happened to Adam and Eve. And, well, Satan's doing it again. You know, 20 to 25 years ago, I had best-selling books on the New Age movement. And many people ask me, do you think it'll get that bad? I mean, is this just a sign? Are these New Age believers and, you know, that who believe in spirit channeling and pyramid powers and demonic entities and all that. Don't you think that won't go over with the masses? Oh, no. Of course it will go over. And they were the early guard. They were the ones who brought this into the fold. Actually, the New Age movement brought the Old Age in. The things that we, if we had only studied them, we would find and discover that the occult powers of Egypt, Babylon, Greece, and Rome were being practiced today. And now they're practiced even more. And the things that we thought were so avant-garde and pioneering are, well, now they're just part of the structure of churches. You know, many of the things that I preached against and told people were occurring, people sort of, well, they shook their heads and they said, well, surely that won't come to my church. And now they themselves are practicing these occult powers and events. And I decided recently that I would like to talk to you, my good friends, about something I call the transformation of humanity. The transformation. Now, let me spell that for you. That would be T-R-A-N-C-E, capital F-O-R-M-A-T-I-O-N. It really is based on trance. So many people have written to me and made me recall the old line in Wizard of Oz. Remember that? Little Dorothy, you know, she had her little doggy Toto in hand. And something terrible had occurred. She had tried to escape the hurricane. And you know, the house went up, everything went up. And when everything sort of settled down, she looked out the window and she says, "Toto, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore." Well, dear friends, I don't think we're in America anymore. And a number of you have written to me and say, "This is a crazy world. This is insane. This is like Twilight Zone. God, get me out of here." Haven't you ever thought that? Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I think of what I'm going to do that day and the agenda that I need to get done and so forth. And, you know, it's like I'm in a Twilight Zone. Let me wake up first and more fully. Things are just different, aren't they? We don't just drudge along day to day. Incredible events are occurring. I often think that we're all in a trance of sorts. You know, in John 3:3, verse 3 of the chapter, third chapter, Jesus said, "You must be born again in spirit and in truth." Now, most people don't understand that statement. They disregard it. They laugh about being born again. That's pretty dramatic, friends, to be born again. Not going in your mother's womb again, but in spirit and in truth. That's an incredible event. Think about it. To be born again. Whatever your age, whether you're 13 or 48 or 90, you're going to be born again in spirit and in truth. Suddenly, you're going to be able to divine truth and know what it is and want to go toward the truth. You will want to avoid the evil and the sin. You will want to stay on the path to righteousness. You'll hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you'll attain it in spirit and in truth. You know, I saw a movie recently. Temple Grandin was the name of it, about a young lady that had autism. But she somehow conquered some of her autism. Of course, it really affected her mind and her mental abilities and so forth. But underneath the autism, she evidently was a very bright young lady. Temple Grandin. True story, by the way. But Temple Grandin she went to college and she wanted to get into cattle. She wanted to know all about cows. Well, that was sort of crazy. She had never been around livestock and animals before, but she wanted to, and so they put her in this big stockyard where they were killing cows. And they would put the electric shock, you know, contacts on their head, one on each side, and shock the cow, and it would just go limp. It was a functioning, 100% okay cow, and then it got to a certain point in the line when the cowboys, you know, hit it with that electric contact, the prod, whatever it was more than a prod, it was a killer, and it, this electric power went into their brain, and then, whoomp, they were just dead, and they just fell. Well, Temple Grandin thought different than other people. She thought different than other people. And she said to the bosses there, she said she was an intern, like a college intern. And they were all making fun of her, not only because she had autism, because she was a girl. What's a girl doing with us here? She doesn't know anything about cows. But at a certain part of the instruction, they brought them, they showed them how they killed the cow. Then, of course, they took it back and they butchered it and they did all this. But she wanted to know something. She said her face was puzzled and she was straining to understand. And she looked at each cow as they brought it in and shocked it and killed it. And she said, "Can I ask a question?" And the guy said, "Okay." She says, "Where did that cow go?" He said, "What do you mean where it went? It's still there. It, after the shock, it just falls dead." She says, "No, where does it go?" He says, "What are you talking about, young lady?" She says, "Obviously, something has changed. The cow is not a cow anymore. It doesn't move. It doesn't move. It has no animation. It has no spirit. Where did that go, the spirit that it had?" They didn't know what she was talking about. But I, as a Christian, knew what she was talking about. Because I've seen men and women whose lives have been changed in an instant. And suddenly they were a new person. Totally new. They thought different. They acted different. They wanted to be different. They were different. Where did the old person go? I don't know. God took it away. Now, if you didn't change like that, I'm saying you still had some flesh, of course, and you still had some fleshly things that tried to bring you back into the old life, the sin life. But you were basically changed. Happened to me when I was 16 years of age. If that experience has not happened to you, I would like you to write to me and say, "Tex, I want to be born again. I want to be born again." And I'll try to help you if I can to be born again. It will make a great a difference in your life. And maybe maybe your friends and loved ones will soon be saying of you, "What happened to her? Where did she go?" She's a new lady now. She's a new man. God tells us to be awake, to wake up, to put on the new person. And once you believe in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, and you want God to redeem you, to make you fresh as snow and forgive you of your sins, and when he does, well, you're born again in spirit and in truth. Until that time, you're in a trance state. You're only semi-conscious. You really can't see the world as it is. You think that drugs and alcohol and lying and thieving and all these things are good. You don't understand at all how they can be harmful to people. Trance status. The transformation, T-R-A-N-C-E, formation of humanity. People have been placed into a trance. It's as if they went into some kind of an entertainment hall. And there for their entertainment was a hypnotist who mesmerized certain people and put them in a trance-like state, and they didn't even know what they were doing. And then he snapped his fingers and they woke up. What have you been doing for the last 15 minutes? Well, you didn't know. You looked at your clock. You're watching. 15 minutes had passed by. Have you ever driven in a car and you're driving down the highway and it's not an exciting day and there's so much traffic and you're there and you're thinking about this or that and you're not really thinking about driving, and pretty soon you wake up and you discover that you've gone maybe 3 or 4 miles. And you say to yourself, "Wow, I'm glad a car didn't jump in front of me. I'm glad some automobile did not come up from the side and when I was asleep at the wheel." And I thank God. I'm wondering if God is protecting me while I'm driving. My goodness, I've been awake. I've been asleep, for several miles. Suddenly I woke up. I was in a trance-like state. I believe that Satan, and evil men today are discovering new ways to place you in a trance. Now, I know you think that you're immune from this, these kind of things, that you have awakened. But let me read to you from the UPI news source. Recently, an article came out. It says, technology has spawned a new brain. It says, technology has changed the way people think, creating a new brain, two Italian psychological experts say. It's a new book that both of these psychologists published called Techno-Liquidity. Techno-Liquidity. It says that the entertainment technology, such as video games, quote, has triggered an evolutionary leap. Just like the written word 3,000 years ago. It has changed our memory. Our brain has lost certain connections. The Italian news agency quoted the two scientists as saying, some circuits have been lost and others have been developed. Circuits that are closely linked to perception. There are things that we are not aware of that are happening in the environment. Yes, right now, there are things around you that are happening that you do not even perceive. So they don't happen. Any policeman could tell you that. A veteran cop could tell you that at a trial. Two witnesses to a crime both say they saw something different. But they saw the same crime, and they're not lying. They're telling you just what they saw. But each perceived it in a different way. They might even describe the victim or the perpetrator in a different way. Our brains are being rewired by the internet today. And there are people that are addicted to the internet, and I don't know why their thumbs don't fall off. They're just going like lickety-split. Of course, now they're passing all kind of laws, you know, making it illegal to use your iPhone or whatever when you're driving down the road. For many years, psychiatrists, psychologists, many under the employ of our government have been researching ways to place people in a trance, even to place the entire population in a trance. And it seems that my good friend David Livingstone, he's written a number of books, he sent me a paper yesterday. He says the purpose of popular American music is to produce idols who can be used to convey subversive subliminal messages. The videos you see on TV, they contain subliminal messages. Subversive. Subversive. And we worship these idols. They're great people. They may be stupid as a rock, or dumb as a worm. But there are idols. And we worship them, and they will convey to us subliminal messages that the government wants to get across. This is why the government has for many years been paying these people. And I've told you before, such as a group such as the Grateful Dead, with its message of rebellion and hate toward the prevailing culture and drugs and LSD. And yes, the Grateful Dead was paid by the government to go around putting out their music. And these hundreds and thousands of groupies followed them everywhere they went. They were idols. Paid by the government. Well, one of the fathers of public relations, a nephew of Sigmund Freud, his name was Edward Bernays. He wrote this, and listen to this very carefully. He was the father of public relations and advertising. He said, and this is back about 50 years ago, he said, human beings need to have Godhead symbols, and public relations councils must help to create them. We have no being in the air to watch over us. Did you hear what he said? We have no being in the air to watch over us. We must watch over ourselves, and that is where public relations counselors can prove their effectiveness, by making the public believe that human gods are watching over us for our own benefit. There are no gods outside of us, he said. There are no gods. But the advertising people, Madison Avenue, prove their effectiveness by making us believe that the gods are watching over us. Well, I believe that because, think of it. I've been going on many radio programs and people tell me I worship the same God as the Hindus or the Muslims. It's all the same God. There's a very well-known song. It's a beautiful song. As long as you don't study the words very close. By Bette Midler, it's, they're watching over us. They're watching. They're watching. Who? It doesn't care. Doesn't matter. It's gods. The gods are watching us. If you're a Muslim, well, Allah is watching over you. If you're a Buddhist, I suppose they're the spirits of your ancestors watching over you. The gods. They exist. Satan is a god to many people. Now, today I want you to understand that sex is the same as it used to be. It's just that now we're so vulgar and dirty and sordid as a nation that we let everybody know that we're doing it. And that it's okay for you to do it. And it doesn't hurt anybody. And it doesn't matter if you're a transgender or a homosexual or a lesbian or a bisexual or a tranny or whatever you're going to be, you know, it doesn't matter. Of course, we've seen the effect, the divorces, the breakup of homes, the suicides among our youth, the drug culture. Of course it matters. But they say it doesn't matter anyway. The gods are watching over you, whoever they may be. Now think of it, friends. If you're at least 25, you know that things have changed. If you're 35 or 40 or 50 years old, boy, they've changed. If you're 70 or 80 or 90, you have seen a real revolution. Homosexuality, transgenderism, pedophilia, cross-dressers, bestiality, tantra ritual. Hollywood's given it to us. TV's given it to us. How about this movie, 50 Shades of Grey? Sadism and bondage, incest, marriage breakups, infidelity. Every day I get all kinds of trash on my internet telling me to go out and have a hookup or a meeting. Some group called Madison that say, you just take a lunch hour and go hook up with somebody. You can stay married. It doesn't matter. This is just for fun. The F word is everywhere. The F word is everywhere. You know, I was thinking about it. Friend, when I was a kid, there was no F word. I think there was certainly not one in polite society. You know what I'm talking about, the F word. But I've heard Hillary say it, Bill Clinton say it, Joe Biden, our vice president, said it, John Kerry, the Secretary of State, said the F word. I mean, when the Obamacare bill was passed, and Obama came out to meet the public, He came up to the microphone. He was introduced by Joe Biden, the vice president. And Joe Biden patted him on the back and said, "This is a big effing deal." And all of America heard that. This is a big effing deal. Wow. Our vice president under George W. Bush goes to Congress for some photo op. There was Senator Leahy, Democrat of Vermont. And Vice President Dick Cheney and Senator Leahy got into some kind of a little imbroglio, some little speck of argument, right on the floor of the U.S. Senate. And Cheney says to Leahy, "Why don't you go F yourself?" The cameras were rolling. And just recently, I saw Cheney on television being interviewed. He was asked about telling Leahy to go F himself. And he smiled and said, "I felt quite good about that." Wow. I felt quite good about that. Now, again, it depends on how old you are. But I don't feel good about it at all. There's no one who's not interviewed that will not have at least a couple of dirty statements to make. In fact, they're not even interviewed unless they have some dirty things to say. Now, George Washington, we go all the way back to George Washington, and you know, I looked up George Washington. It seems like he didn't like the F word. He didn't like any kind of profanity. Why should he? He's president of the United States of America. George Washington, 1775, 1778, 76. In one of his first general orders back in 1775, he wrote to his troops. Think about it. You'd think more important things would be on his mind than cursing and profanity, wouldn't you? His men are starving to death. They have no shoes. They're cold. They're hungry. They're facing great numbers of the British. Here's what he wrote. He says, "The general most earnestly requires and expects a due observance of those articles of war established for the government of the army which forbid profane cursing, swearing, and drunkenness." Let me say it to you in the way an East Texan would, my friend. There ain't no cursing, swearing, and drunk behavior here. That's what he said. No profane cursing or swearing or drunkenness. Later on, he said it again. I guess they kept it up. About a year later, he sent out another order. He says, "The general is sorry to be informed that the foolish and wicked practice of profane cursing and swearing, a vice heretofore little known in the American army, is growing into a fashion. He hopes the officers will, by example as well as influence, endeavor to check it." He said, "And that both they and the men will reflect that we can little hope of the blessing of heaven on our army if we insult it by our impiety and folly. Added to this, it is a vice so mean and low, without any temptation, that every man of sense and character detests and despises it." Well, Biden, you're a wicked, filthy, dirty man. And Dick Cheney, your language befits a cesspool of vomit. I agree with George Washington, but I'm old school. I'll be right back in just a minute. We're going to have a lot more on the transformation of humanity. Part one, we're looking at sex, politicians, and war. We'll be right back after this brief message. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars here. You know, I was recently reading several books about the religion of Judaism. And I wrote an essay about it, and I said that out of 1,000 pastors, if you ask these 1,000 pastors, very educated, very literate men, and a few women, what does a Jewish rabbi believe? In what God do they believe? Can you name the gods and goddesses of Judaism? Ask 1,000 pastors that, and guess what? They all know. They all know the God of Judaism. Why, he's the God of the Old Testament, the great I Am. That's how ignorant the pastors are of the Judaic religion. In fact, in Judaism today, they do not worship the God of the Old Testament. They worship, well, a number of gods and goddesses. Now, they do have a prayer in Judaism, the Shema, which says the God that we worship is one God. And they parade that around Christians and say, you know, you worship Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You worship three gods. That's what they say about us, the Jewish rabbis. You worship three gods. We only worship one. Now, that statement that they worship one God is a lie. And it reminds me of the Hindu woman who called me on an interview line on a talk show I was on. She says, Mr. Morris, I want to correct what you said about Hinduism. I said, okay, well, tell me where I'm going wrong. She said, in Hinduism, you said we have many gods and goddesses. We only have one God. I says, well, ma'am, there are many who worship the great cobra goddess, Kali. And there are many who worship the rat goddess. And there are those who worship the male gods. In fact, the experts say that they have counted 3 million deities in Hinduism. Oh, yes, she said. There are 3 million, maybe more. But they're all the same God. You just worship the version that you choose for yourself. Oh, God as you understand him. He can be the rat god or the snake god or whatever you want. Or the goddess, of course. Oh, yes, she said. And I suppose you worship my God. Oh, yes, we worship your God. Have you ever read the New Testament? Oh, no, I don't read that. You don't even know what my God has said. You don't know the first thing about my God. My God said there are no other gods except him. Well, he's wrong. So immediately we had a little disagreement there. But I made it plain that she didn't worship my God. She didn't know my God. When a Muslim imam says, I worship your God, I said, no, you're a liar. You worship Allah. And according to Allah, Jesus did not die and resurrect himself from the cross. You see, they have lying devils, their gods. The Apostle Paul in the Bible talked about the gods. He said there are many gods. And there are many idols. Now he said an idol in itself is nothing. But there are gods behind it. Oh yes, oh my friends. You have an idol in your house. There are gods that are going to come into your house. So-called gods. Devil gods. This is what you don't understand. You have the Jewish Star of David. It represents the number 666. What God does that represent? Satan. You wear the Jewish Star of David, you're worshiping Satan. Oh, no, I don't worship him. You have him around your neck. He's got you around the neck. We have a book, a classic book, entitled The Two Babylons. The Two Babylons. It's by a great old English preacher. I believe the book is actually written about 1820. It's that ancient of a book. And it's such a wonderful book that I suppose I have read it at least 10 times. Maybe I'm stretching it, 8 or 9. I read some parts of it more than that. I've read it over and over, and I find that it's the New Age movement. I find that it's Judaism. It's all of the New Age cults. They're all found in this 1820 book. Why? Because Satan was around in 1820, and he's around now. He's preaching the same things. They're wrapped up, and they're putting crystal powers and pyramid powers and, you know, spirit channeling and all of these, this new garb, new costumes, but it's the same stuff. It's a terrific book, The Two Babylons. He says the Catholic Church brought it all in. And you visit St. Peter's Cathedral in the Vatican, and there you'll have it, friends. I've been there a number of times. I saw the goddess there. I saw the goddess painted on the wall. She had the whole earth under her foot. Don't tell me they don't worship the great goddess. Oh, yes, they do. In this book, you're going to learn who the goddess is. Hyslop will introduce you to all the gods and goddesses of Babylon, Egypt, Rome, Greece. You'll find who the Romans worship. Do you remember that the Apostle Paul said that in the city of Ephesus, they worship the great goddess? Her name was Diana. She was the goddess whom Paul says in the New Testament, all the world worships, but they just use different names. She was Hecate in one part of the world. She was Cybele in another part of the world. She was Semiramis in Babylon. She was Venus, the goddess of love in Rome and in Greece. And so whatever version of the great goddess you wanted to worship, you could. But there they worshiped her as Diana. And you know, today in witchcraft, would you like to know whom the goddess is that most witches worship? Her name? It's Diana. She's still alive. I don't think she looks like her pictures, so-called pictures that they, you know, paint or draw. Diana, the great goddess. There's Pan, too, the horn god of the forest. I was up in Washington State, and there was a lady there, and, you know, I was at the front of the podium. I was talking about one of my books, and there was a big crowd there. It was sort of like the Phil Donahue or Oprah Winfrey show or something, and he went out into the audience with a microphone and said, "Does any of you have any comment about what Tex Mars is saying?" And this woman, she looked quite manly. She stood up, and she started crying, and she started pointing her finger at me, and she said, you are against my God. I said, really? Yes, she said, I'm a witch, and it's people like you that have caused witches to be burnt at the stake over the years. I says, well, ma'am, tell us about your God and your goddess. And she looked at me sort of startled then, God and goddess? I said, I'm sure if you're a real witch, you have a god and a goddess. What is your goddess's name? She said, Diana. And I said, then probably your god's name is Pan, the horn god of the forest. She said, yes. She was very uncertain. She said, well, yes, we worship Pan. She said, but he's not the devil. I said, really? Does he have fur on? Well, yes. He's half beast, half man, yes. He has horns, yes, she said. I said, you know, you can call the devil by whatever name you want. You call him Pan. You're worshiping the devil and his goddess, Diana. That's who you worship. At least she, you know, identified herself. Up to that time, I was just a mean old Christian that was, you know, saying bad things about her gods. And, of course, we had not even brought up witchcraft during the whole session there. But we were talking about human sacrifice. And I was explaining that in many of these New Age cults and religions, they actually sacrifice human beings. I want you to get this book, The Two Babylons. They had human sacrifices back then, too. And they had sexual religion. A sex religion. A phallic religion. Because many, many in their religion would worship the phallus. Sick as they were in their minds. And you know what, friends? Millions of Americans worship the phallus. They do. That's all they do worship. And it's honored on television every night. It's honored in all your songs. It's honored in all of your comic books and video games. The Two Babylons, it's a book you won't forget. And we're offering it for just $20. Just $20. Please add $5 for shipping and handling. As for the two Babylons, write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. As for the two Babylons. The two Babylons. By the way, Revelation 17 says the world will be as Babylon. And that's what you'll see. You'll say, my goodness, I'm seeing the same names, the same practices, the same beliefs, the same devils in this second Babylon as occurred in the first Babylon. Now, you go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, or just textmars.com, and you can order the two Babylons there. Use your PayPal or your charge card. You can phone us anytime during the work week here. Just phone us at 1-800, it's toll-free, 1-800-234-9673, and say, I want that book that Tex, you know, dumb as he had to read 9 or 10 times to get it in his head. That's true. That's true. I'll admit, his lot was, he was a lot brighter than me, and he wrote a great book. And I couldn't put it down, and I read it over and over and over again. I've got about 3 copies here in the office, I believe. Each one of them is underlined. Ran out of room, so I had to start with another book. The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. Just say the Two Babylons book. We'll get it right out to you. All right, now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about the transformation of humanity. This is part one. Today we're going to be talking about sex, politicians, and war. How they've changed. How we've all gone into a trance state. Even those who claim to be born again are in this trance state, many of them. They have not awakened. Recently read a poll result by Barna. They're sort of like Gallup or Roper polls and so forth. And they said that among young people, men and women, there was as much promiscuousness, sex outside of marriage, in Christian churches as there was outside of Christian churches. How can that be? If you're born again in spirit and truth, you don't act like a slut. You don't act like a young man that, well, has wicked behavior. You don't act like that. And you don't want to treat women that way. And you women, you don't want to be treated that way. And you don't want a man that is basically scum. Dare I say it? It's true. I went over a list a while ago talking about some of the things we see every day in movies and such. And, you know, it's interesting to me. I don't see these kind of shows, but I understand that shows like Modern Problems or Modern Marriage or whatever it is and all of these, they all have homosexual characters. And now they've gotten to the place where there's two homosexual men or women living together. They're married even together. And I was talking with one woman. She said she liked that TV program so much. She said, I love the gay pair. I said, do you? Oh, yes. And they have adopted a little child. Oh. She said, but they're very funny. Oh, they just make me laugh. They're so lovable, both of them. I said, well, that's great. That's makes you think that all gays are like that. She said, well, I don't know that they're not. I don't know anything about gays. I said, well, why don't you go Google up a story in Atlanta, Georgia? What happened recently to a young boy, 11 years old. He was walking down the street. He was picked up by 2 gay men. They took him back to their apartment. They tied him up. They tortured him. They raped him. And they murdered him. They were homosexuals. Ooh. She almost fainted. Oh, you haven't heard about those kind of homosexuals. Well, wait till there's some kind of a great parade or some big fun festival down in San Francisco and see if you can get pictures of it. Of course, they don't want to show you most of the time. You'll see the hedonism. You'll see the paganism. You'll see the phallicism. You'll see them parading down the streets naked, making fun of Jesus, making fun of the Bible. Some of them dress like nuns and priests. exhibit, yes, their male or women organs to the crowd and laugh. That's the true spirit of homosexuality, dear friends. That little boy that died. And that is a true story. Now, we have pornography. And I turned on the TV last night and there was, I think it was Jimmy Fallon. Who's the other guy on? Jimmy Kimmel, yeah. He was talking about that people are going to see this movie, 50 Shades of Grey, about sadism and bondage and all that sexual junk. He says people seem to be shocked by it. If they just watched pornography on the internet one night, they would see 10 times as much. If they were to watch pornography one night on the internet, they would see 10 times as much as in the movie 50 Shades of Grey. Sexual liberation, abortion, sexual murders, magic, music, the sex revolution, they call it. It's vulgarity. It's the F word. You know, I go with Wanda sometime. We go out to a ball game or some kind of a sport on the outside or singing or whatever. Always expect for somebody to be right below you in the stands or right above you or the side of you shouting off profanities. They don't see it's any problem at all. You're there with your wife. I'd like to have a nice time. And their vulgar, filthy, dirty mouths are just going off like firecrackers. Has that ever happened to you? I bet it has. I know they're passing laws now to force vulgarity on our kids, sexual vulgarity. In California, of course, they're teaching gay history. I have no idea what gays have done to help our history. I don't see them as, I mean, you know, the Wright brothers, as far as I know, they were not gay. Henry Ford was not gay. Charles Lindbergh certainly was not gay. What do you mean? We're going to teach you gay history. I don't think I want to know about the gay history. But Democrat California Governor Jerry Brown said everybody needs to learn it. They need to learn about the contribution of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Americans. Recently saw a show on TV. It says, we're going to show you a female CEO, a woman who invented the satellite radio. Well, I don't mind honoring a woman. She's an inventor. She came out, but I didn't know if it was a woman or a man. It's a transgender. They said she's the highest paid CEO in America. Now she's invented some kind of robot. Or she. It's a transgender. She's also invented a new religion called TerraSim. I got online. I wanted to find out about this new religion, TerraSim, and had a whole manual on it. Of course, it's just New Age garbage. That's all it is. And she's a transgender. You know, she was, or he, was born as a woman, is now as a man, or vice versa. I don't even know what they are. But God knows. God knows what they should be. Well, Brown said history should be honest. But he's fostering a lie. He's fostering a terrible lie. Now, who are the politicians bringing Americans this stuff? You see, in state after state, they have passed laws against same-sex marriage. But the politicians want it. They're stuffing it down our mouths. The judges want it. Who appoints the judges? Well, the politicians. But the people don't want it. Well, we'll give you some time while we're forcing it down your, you know, throat. While you have to do it. And if you don't sell your cakes or take your picture, if you got a business and you don't serve the gays in a marriage or whatever, well, we're going to take, I understand they made somebody pay $150,000 just last week because they didn't bake cakes for some same-sex marriage. They said our Christian religion forbids that. They don't care about your Christian religion. These are devil politicians, friends. Have you noticed how much politicians lie these days? I did not have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. And if you want your own doctor, you can keep it. If you want your own health plan, you can keep it. It doesn't matter whether it was Bill Clinton or Obama that made either statement. They're just lies. They're not embarrassed about them. They must laugh about them. They laugh that you and I are dumb enough to have fallen for them. And everybody wants money from the government. 49 million Americans are on food stamps. 49 million Americans. I recently read that at the University of Michigan, there are about 50,000 students, and almost all of them get food stamps. I couldn't believe it. Whoa, whoa, just a minute. I thought food stamps were for families who are very poor, almost destitute. They need milk. They need, you know, the basic staples of life. No, this is for well-off students. It didn't matter whether your parents made $1 million a year or $500,000. You could go down and get like $169 a month or whatever it was in food stamps. It was like a stipend. It was a payment. Every student on campus got it. You think I'm kidding you. You say, Tex, if your dad was head of General Motors, you couldn't go to University of Michigan and get food stamps. Yes, you could. Every one of them were getting food stamps. Do you think they were buying food with it? No. They're buying drugs. They're buying alcohol, whatever they're buying. The politicians have given that. Now here in Texas, let me explain something to you, friends. I'm 70 years old, and I spent over 20 years in the U.S. Air Force. One of my medals was the Vietnam Service Medal. Of course, all that was just I spent basically a year over there and 2 years in Southeast Asia. And, you know, they promised me that if you spend a full career in the Air Force, we'll pay for your medical care when you get out. And they've been doing a pretty good job of it. But one thing they don't pay is dental. I have to pay my own dental. Okay. Juan and I, we pay our own dental. If we have a toothache, we have to go get it taken care of. But if I was an illegal alien with 7 kids or 10 kids or 12 kids, my dental would be taken care of. And all of my kids could go to a pediatric dentist. Here in Austin, Texas, there are pediatric clinics everywhere. And they put big billboards up. Are you on Medicaid? We'll give you full dental care. I spent 20 years in the armed services. I could have been killed at any time. But it didn't matter. I don't get dental care. Now, it's a small thing. Or is it? Pretty soon, you know, it's... Juan and I were in West Virginia a few years ago, and boy, people were poor there. Lived in mobile homes, trailers, and boy, they were poor. They'd all been laid off from the coal mines. They were poor. But it seemed like they all had nice teeth. I couldn't figure it out. I thought they'd all have yellow teeth, snaggle tooth, and all that. No. Well, the government takes care of their teeth. They all have Medicaid. In fact, the government's giving them all kinds of things now. And the food stores say they get more food stamps than they get, you know, cash and charge cards. That's how people pay. That's a normal payment, pay food stamps. They don't call it food stamp, now they call it SNAP program or something or other. Meanwhile, while our politicians are giving all this welfare and goodies and putting people in a trance-like state, they're torturing a certain percentage of us. They are building gulag concentration camps across the globe. Not just in America. Gitmo, that's a circus act. They're building prison camps and torturing people and murdering many of them in Poland, in Czechoslovakia. Around the globe, they're doing it. They recently put out a report telling us what happened on 9/11. Now we're going to tell you the truth, they say. But guess what? There were 28 pages missing. No, that had to be redacted because we can't tell you everything. We have to hide some things that happened. Really? 9/11 occurred 15 years ago. 15 years ago. We want to know what happened. Well, there's 28 pages here, and we've decided, for your own good, we're not going to tell you. Was it Israel? Was it the Saudi Arabians? Who helped perpetrate this horrible crime? Well, that's where the 28 pages will tell you, but we can't tell you that. How about the John F. Kennedy assassination? Well, that was 1963. That was over 50 years ago. Surely you'll tell us about that. Well, no, there are certain documents that we can't release to the public. We can't release them to you. What? John Podesta, Hillary's campaign manager, says that the thing that he was disappointed about the most when he was in the White House under Bill Clinton was that he couldn't tell us about the UFOs. Well, I know a lot. There are a lot of top secret and secret documents about UFOs, but we can't tell anybody. On one hand, the government says they don't exist. On the other, they say, well, we've got these secrets and we can't reveal them to you. It makes everybody, puts them in a trance state, doesn't it? I believe in UFOs. Well, you're an idiot. Nobody believes in UFOs. But of course, the government has all kinds of secret information. They've got to stamp it secret, file it away, and we have to pay millions of dollars to keep it secret from you. Because you're an idiot. Because you're crazy. Because they don't exist. Huh? They're inducing a double mind in people. A double mind in everyone. It's a trance state they're putting you in. It's the criminal politicians and liars and torturers and murderers. And they've made war God. They've made war God. Remember what Orwell said? Ignorance is strength. War is peace. That's what they tell you. War is peace. And the number one movie in America is about a sniper. And soon we will have snipers all over America. Oh, yes, there will be snipers. They're training them. There's a reason why they brought in 80,000 Ukrainians into Sacramento, California. 80,000 in one city. What are they doing here? Why did they bring in 80,000 Ukrainians? Now they're bringing in thousands of Syrians, the newspaper said this morning. Syrians. Why are they bringing in thousands of Syrians? To kill you? Oh, Tex, that's crazy. Really? Is it? And of course, we all love Israel, don't we? We're going to have Netanyahu before Congress. It's his third time, and before he was welcomed like Hitler and Stalin. And they applauded 29 times for the guy during his last appearance before the Congress. He's going to come again. Now, he told us that Iran would have nuclear weapons by, what was it, the year 2000? Then the year 2002, then the year 2005, then in the year 2007, and, well, several other times since. And now they're going to have, within 1 month or 2 months, they'll have nuclear bombs. But the day, that date comes and it goes. And there is one nation in the Middle East that has bombs, Israel. And the United States has helped Israel to develop its bombs. The world's a mixed up place. This is a trance-lax state. But you can awaken. You can be born again in spirit and truth. And when you do, you'll suddenly say, wait just a minute. I want truth. I want to know the facts. You're not going to lie to me anymore. I don't believe you, government, because you'll have the greatest truth teller in all of history in your heart. He will give you the strength to find out the truth. Remember X-Files? The truth is out there somewhere. Yes, it is. The truth is out there somewhere, and his name is Jesus Christ. I'm Tex Mars. Been great being with you today. Hope you'll tune in to part two next week of The Transformation of Humanity.